Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The president of a large corporation and his wife were visiting her hometown when they stopped at a gas station. And as the man was getting fuel, he noticed his wife speaking to the attendant, and she dallied and took a while, and when she finally returned to the car, he asked her what they were talking about. And she replied that he was actually an old flame. And the guy said, "Oh, really? And he's a gas station attendant. Ha! I bet I know what you're thinking." And his wife responded, "Yeah, if I'd married him, he'd be the president of the company." Old joke, but it does have a profound point. If we men are willing to admit it, we know that our wives make us much better than we would be on our own. On this LWML Sunday, we recognize that the women of that organization have also been a similar blessing for our church body. Over the years, as our gospel lesson suggests, these women have lived out the fact that they are salty Christians, and that saltiness has been demonstrated over the years as they've served and served and served some more. Now, each year we make an effort to recognize the work of this incredible body of women in mission. But too often, the Sundays that are devoted to this are seen as, well, maybe rather superficial, perfunctory. But today, I hope that we all leave knowing that the mission of the women of this organization speaks to the very heart of who we are as Christians and what we are as the church. Though not all are members of the LWML, every one of us, men and women alike, need to realize and be thankful for them, because what they have been doing over the years speaks to who we are as God's children. In that gospel lesson, Jesus said that all Christians are to be salty. In fact, that all Christians are salt. When Jesus says, though, "If salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again?" As he says those words, he's simply saying that salt can't help but be salty. There's no such thing as unsalty salt. In other words, if you're a Christian, you're salty. And you're salted so that you might serve. 7,000 miles away and 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross to put your sins to death. It's a done deal. It's finished. There's nothing you or anyone on earth can or need to do to gain God's favor. In his second letter to them, Paul confidently declared that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. What he won so long ago, he pours out even now. He grabbed hold of you in your baptism and made his cross and death and resurrection yours. And the guilt of your sins were washed away. And Luther expresses why this was done in his explanation to the first article of the Creed. He says, "It's so that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness." You know, the Bible says a number of things about salt. It says that salt adds flavor, that salt heals and preserves, that it indicated peace with God in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and that it also indicated peace between people, which is probably why Jesus says in today's text, "Be at peace with one another." What that tells us is that God hasn't salted us to look back and live backward. What I mean is that we haven't been forgiven so that we might look back on our old life in shame, or to see it as something to be longed for, though in many times we find ourselves doing that. Rather, we are salted to look and live forward, to live in the freedom that Christ has won for us. Two Sundays from now is Reformation Sunday, the day we're observing Reformation Sunday. And every Lutheran, I think, knows that in Luther's day it was taught that that church and faith was all about giving God our good works, giving God our praise, giving God our service in order to be worthy for heaven. You know, it was believed that the greatest Christians were those who separated themselves from the rest of the world, went off to monasteries in order to be completely devoted to God. Church was all about doing stuff in order to ensure salvation. But one of the great blessings that Luther brought to us is that he turned this kind of thinking upside down. You see, church is first and foremost about God serving us. We are the tax collectors standing in the temple praying, God be merciful to us sinners. We come with our sins to this place, and God comes and does something for us. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. In the verse that speaks to remember the Sabbath day in one of Luther's hymns, he wrote this. He said, and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you. See, our relationship with God isn't about us working for him, but about celebrating the work that he has done for us. God serves us. He makes us salt. And then he sends us out to share his love with others. If you've been in any of my Bible classes or in any of my, not any of my sermons, but many of my sermons, you may know by now that one of my favorite Luther quotes is this. He says, God doesn't need your good works. God doesn't need your good works. But your neighbor does. We are made salt in order to serve. And that's exactly what the women of the LWML model so well for us. As Amy said, the LWML is Lutheran Women in Mission. It exists to witness to Christ. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well and says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And she responded, sir, give me this water. But then he confronted her about her numerous husbands and current live-in boyfriend, and he called her to repentance and faith, and she believed. And then after Jesus salted her for eternal life, this is how she responded in John 4:28. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And then in verse 39 we read, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's witness. Let me give you just a hint of how you need to read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you need to see yourself in all of its characters. The sinners and the saints. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You, every one of you, are the woman at the well. The one whose life doesn't square up with the demands of the law. The one who deserves condemnation. And you are the one that Jesus calls to repentance. And you are the one who is forgiven. You are the one who now bears witness to Jesus. You are salted to serve no matter who you are, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Lutheran Women in Mission shows us where that happens. It happens where God puts you. First and foremost in your family, your witnesses to your children, your witnesses to your grandchildren, your witnesses to your siblings. And that's why the LWML provides so many resources and Bible studies to strengthen families in the faith. And from there, your witness is to your circle of friends, this congregation, the community, just like the woman at that well. Now, as Amy also mentioned, The money that the LWML is called mites. The money that they receive is called mites. Those are nickels and dimes and quarters and even dollars and checks and Krugerrands. And but hundreds, they receive those, that change and that money, and fund hundreds and hundreds of projects in our church body and in our partner churches all around the globe, so that the message of Christ's free forgiveness is shared everywhere. Over the years, since 1942, when the LWML was officially established, those mites have amounted to over $100 million. Change. Pocket change. And here's the reality. The worldwide witness of our church body, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, would be severely hindered without those Lutheran women in mission. Countless thousands of people know Jesus because of the work of that group. The women of the LWML recognize that they are salt in order to serve and to be missionaries of mercy. You know, there's a somewhat disturbing story in Matthew of a Canaanite woman who came and cried to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." We heard that passage. We heard that gospel lesson just a few weeks ago. Surprisingly, Jesus put her off saying this. He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But her bold response was, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus granted her request. Now, why did Jesus do this? Was he so cold-hearted as to not want to help this woman? Of course not. He had an ulterior motive. He wanted to show his disciples, who would have turned this woman away without a thought, that God's mercy and love extends to all. The LWML has not hindered or has not limited its mission. Some years ago, the president of our church body shared this story. He said, "Over the past decade, I've visited dozens and dozens of places in the world, and I had a reoccurring experience just like this one in Ambur, India. I was touring a large and bustling Lutheran hospital compound where hundreds of people are treated daily, where babies are born and people are cared for by doctors and pastors and deaconesses. And as I rounded a corner on my walk, I came face to face with a plaque on the hospital building that read, 'Built with the assistance of funds from the Lutheran Women's Missionary League.' Every time this occurs, and it happens more regularly than you would believe, I think of all the women I've met over the years. I think of all those who have faithfully filled mite boxes. And I think of the women now with the Lord who have pointed us to this powerful work and witness. And I'm profoundly thankful." The 2017 to 2019 LWML mission goal adopted last summer funds 22 projects totaling over $2 million. That doesn't include the LWML projects, which Amy mentioned, that are local Idaho, Utah LWML district, nor any of the other districts around the United States have adopted. These projects care for the poorest of men, women, and children. They fight malaria and other diseases. They assist the addicted. They provide care for unwed mothers and their children, support crisis pregnancy centers, and the list goes on and on and on. And in all the stories that flow from those acts of service, Jesus is being shared with those in need. You know, I mentioned this at the beginning of the sermon. Oftentimes, the Sundays called LWML Sunday is seen as superficial, perfunctory. But since the 1850s, the women of our church body have served as a powerful example of Christian life in action for all of us. And they remind us that we've all been forgiven by Jesus, made salt, to bear witness to him by serving the world around us. We care for those in need, just like he did. And we live a life together of love and forgiveness. And that is why we take time each year to thank and to pray for all of these women in mission. Amen.